2 Corinthians chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning. If you did not get one of our seasonally covered outlines, please raise your hand and Mike will be happy to get you one right now. Okay, so we'll do that. Thanks, Mike, so much. I'm still fired up from Tucker being here last week. I'll tell you what, he didn't even have to do the drawing. I'm working on my drawings, too. I do cartoons sometimes. I'm not ready for prime time or non-prime time. What's that?
Stick figures.
Stick figures, that's right. Great to see Max here this morning. Give Max a welcome, okay? He just changed jobs. Yeah. Max has been making potato chips over at the Utz place, and they're changing his schedule a little bit so he can be with us, which is terrific. Tucker was wonderful. Just he didn't have to do that painting. He could just the teaching was just wonderful, and it's good to know that a young man like that's going around just shaking things up. I was so excited. I called the president of Keswick, and I said, "You know, you have Tucker coming for youth conferences all the time. How about getting him for the old people?" And he said, "I already had him scheduled for 2026 for the old conferences." So that's terrific. So God's going to use him. And pray for Tucker, okay? That Satan doesn't discourage him. That he gets protected, okay? As he travels around, very, very important. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to look at the first three verses this morning. We're calling this digital billboards or in an age of cultural Christianity. So, Brian, let you sit down. I'm going to ask you all to stand up right now, whether you can or not. Stand up, okay? Stand up. We always say if you're able. No, even if you're not able, stand up, okay? That's okay. If you can't, I won't look at you, okay? Stand up. Point to your neighbor. You got to have a neighbor. Okay, put your Bible down for a moment. I see you. It's like chewing gum and walking. Find a neighbor. You'll have to get with these other guys. Point to your neighbor. No football stories, Leonard, this morning. Okay, no football. Sorry. Point to your neighbor and not, don't look at me. Point to your neighbor and say, "You are a living,
you are living,
walking,
digital billboard sign.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ." Let's do that one more time. Look at them. Point. Did your mama ever say it's not polite to point? Point. You are a living, walking, digital billboard sign for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. If you got that, you can go home now. Okay, you can go home now. You got it, all right? Oh, Mike's another one of those fired-up preacher kind of guys. We love him. All right, follow our notes here. Chapter 3 is amazingly potent. I emailed a pastor down South Carolina a little while ago, and I saw online he started to teach 2 Corinthians. There's not a lot of people teaching through 2 Corinthians. So I said, "Hey, Pastor, do you have any references for me?" And he sent some references up here. And so it is just better than ever. Why study 2 Corinthians 3? Let me give you a couple reasons here on your notes. 18 powerful verses. And I was tempted to go through the whole thing. We'll only do the first three, okay? I hope, by the way, you're using these journals. All right, we put these out. This is the ESV. It's just 2 Corinthians. These are very, very helpful. ESV is a... Got a camera over here. Okay. These are really, really good. There's Bible on one page, note page on the other one, and you could just take some notes or write a bunch of questions. And what you want to do, here's your assignment for next Sunday. Your assignment for next Sunday is to underline the word glory in chapter 3. Just underline, circle the word glory. You're going to be amazed at how many times in that brief section the word glory pops out. And when you do that, I always ask myself the question, why did Paul do that? Why did he? We believe in verbal plenary inspiration. Every word of God is inspired. It's important. It's there for a reason. So I want you to do that, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Let me give you three reasons why to spend extra time in chapter 3. Roy, good to see you. Wayne, doing all right? Good train show? Okay, all right. Three reasons why the truth expounded in this chapter is important for you and important for me. And I want to encourage you, we're just scratching the surface in the time here. You need to go home and do a deep dive on your own. Three good reasons. Number one, because, reason to study chapter 3, because we are living right now, we are living in a celebrity-driven age. You and I are living in a celebrity-driven culture. You know that. Whenever a news event occurs, whose opinion did they give? Not some scholar out there who's obscure. They quote some movie star, some rock star, or some politician. They're promoted as the expert, and they're not the expert. And I want to name, I'm not going to name names. Next hour we will. There's a bunch of names that come to mind. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they have to say? But they're promoted. Why? Because they are a celebrity. I wish most of them would just go away, don't you? Just go away. Or stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. This has leaked into the church, where we have celebrity pastors, celebrity musicians, celebrity artists. And sometimes I smile out loud when I see a new Bible coming out and one of the celebrity musicians is quoted on it, how good this Bible is. They know nothing about translation, but we're living in a celebrity culture. And if you are, by the way, I may get in a little trouble this morning, but you seem to be happy. If you see that we are living in a celebrity culture, because if you are a big donor to some of these Christian organizations, I know what goes on behind the scenes. If you give enough money, you will get a call from the top dog. You'll get a call. That's celebrityism. Totally violates the book of James, but that's what's going on. In fact, I know one guy, and I like all these guys. These are some of the good guys. He came out, I was at a meeting with him one day. He said, you know, if you give to my ministry X amount of dollars, I will call you, and we could talk for 10 minutes. I said, wow. One of the guys came to New York a while ago, met at a big venue, and you had to pay to go see him. I understand that because it costs money to rent places, right? I mean, I know there are some fees, but what got me was if you pay an additional, it was at the time, $40, you could go to a meet and greet and get your picture taken. And I know some of our guys did that. That's celebrityism. We quote them as the final authority. I often do that. In fact, Sue and I were at a conference once, and there was a celebrity guy there. He's on the radio. He's written a lot of books. And he would go to the podium. He would do his message. It was wonderful, wonderful. And then he would disappear. We thought we'd hang out. He'd disappear. He didn't want to talk to people the rest of the day. So I ran into the man in the hall. I said, hey, sir, you spoke at my graduation at Dallas. And we were best friends. That's celebrityism. That's celebrityism. You're not going to find that attitude in Paul. And you're going to find all through 2 Corinthians, he's going to deal with it. Because they had false teachers coming in way back over 2,000 years ago promoting celebrity Christianity. In fact, the entire book of 2 Corinthians, and we need this because we're just bombarded with it. It's written in opposition to celebrity Christianity. There's a second reason. If you're not mad with that one, you may be mad with this one. There is what I want to call the continuing covenant confusion that you and I are part of. There's a covenant confusion. Old covenant versus new covenant. The old Mosaic covenant, Paul is going to teach very clearly, has passed away. It had glory, but limited glory. It has been replaced by the new covenant, far more glory. And yet, you and I, church back here, still had covenant confusion. And I'll list one or two examples here. James chapter 3, verse 1, James comes out and says, be not many teachers. Be not many teachers. Because a teacher is going to undergo what? A stricter evaluation. If you call and I won't look at you to see if you like this one or not. If you call this up front the altar, that's covenant confusion. That's not the altar. This is the front of the church. If you're into exclusive tithing ideas, you have some covenant confusion. If you're neglecting the created Sabbath principle because I heard someone say this Wednesday is fulfilled, there's some covenant confusion going on. And boy, the list goes on and on and on. We went to we went to this huge pastor's conference up in New Jersey where a famous seminar guy met with all the pastors one day, and he opened up, talk about covenant confusion. He opened up the book of Leviticus, and from Leviticus 18, there was about 500, 600, 700 pastors there, Hawthorne Gospel Church. From Leviticus 18 and the context, he was telling all these men, when they could and could not have intimacy with their wives based on Leviticus 18. I was sitting there in the back. Remember that? You were probably there with me, Wade. I was sitting in the back hoping somebody would pick up a hymnal and throw it at this guy because that was just totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. There's a third reason. You'll like this one if you didn't like the first two. There's a third reason why to go into a deep dive in chapter 3. And that's because of the change that is expected. The change that is expected. In 2 Corinthians 3, last verse in the chapter, it says this. Chapter 3, verse 18. And we'll get to this in the future. We'll say one or two things about this morning, but I just want to mention the change that is expected. Paul says, "And we all, with unveiled faces," in contrast to Moses, right? "Behold the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed," changed, "into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." That's ongoing spiritual transformation that was not available to the individual Israelite under the old covenant, but it's available to every believer in Jesus Christ under the new covenant. The goal for every believer in Jesus Christ, your goal ought to be spiritual transformation. Growing more and more like who?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Yet more and more Christ-like. This is hard to believe sometimes because sometimes we'll be talking to someone else about somebody else that we shouldn't be doing. We'll say, that person will never do what?
Change.
That person will never change. They're just getting worse. According to the New Testament, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to be changing. Right. We ought to be transforming into the person of Jesus Christ. There's always hope for a believer, but there's responsibility, and we'll talk about that. Last time, October 12th, we looked at this. And by the way, I'll say it again. If you didn't watch Tucker last week, please go back and look at that. You'll be encouraged. We ended by studying 2 Corinthians chapter 17, where we saw on your notes, criticism was hit head on by Paul. He just hit criticism head on, verse 17 of chapter 2. Paul says, "For we are not like so many peddlers of the word of God, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." That's important to understand 2 Corinthians. So I want to review for just a second or so, maybe more than a second. Paul was being accused of being out there for the money by the false teachers who were there for the money. He was being accused of just saying whatever he was saying, doing whatever he was doing, all for the money, the authority, and the power. A peddler, we said, is a negative term. It's someone out there to make money. They will cut corners. Years ago, I was listening to WSBA in the morning. Remember when they had the Dennis and Judy show early in the morning? And Dennis Malloy had somebody on early in the morning who was selling this stuff that would give you extra gasoline in your car. You buy these things, little deals that look like Crayola crayons, and if you put them in your car, what would it do, Brian? It would give you a lot more gasoline. So I didn't know any better. I should have asked you. I bought those things, Stuck them in my car, and you know what happened? Guess what happened? I think I messed up the engine. Nothing. So I called the radio station. Back then, you could call the radio station. So I called the radio station, got a hold of Dennis, and I said, yo, hey, I bought these things, and nothing happened. And you know what he said? He said, I know nothing about those. I was just advertising them with this guy. You know what that is? That's a peddler. And, you know, they're all over the place, and we could spend all morning talking about that. Paul says, I'm here in sincerity, unmixed motives. Let me read this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Some peddler several years ago sold me this stuff. I trust the guy. He said, for $40, you could have free electric for life. You buy one of those too? I'm still waiting for the free electric. Anyhow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, first three verses. Listen to this. Paul says this. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? And here's the good news. You yourselves are our letter of recommendation. You yourselves. Written on our hearts to be known and to be read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Three C words on your outline. Three C words. As we continue looking at these three verses, I sure appreciate you being here with us this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, I want to look at the custom of commendation. The custom of commendation, verse one. Paul asked the church two questions, expecting a no answer. I'll read them again. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? And the answer he expects, no. Do we need, as some do, letters of recommendations to you or from you? Answer is, no. In Paul's day, and a little bit like today, a letter of recommendation was often used as a substitute for credibility. If you were traveling and you wanted to stay at an inn or somebody's home and you didn't have a super recommendation, you get a letter from somebody, rather a reputation, rather, you get a letter from somebody and you would hope that they would let you stay at someone's house. Today, you and I are constantly exposed to paid celebrity advertisements, aren't we? All the time. And we learn to our chagrin that often the very celebrity promoting the product doesn't use it. And we often find out that the product hardly delivers. But we buy it. We buy it because the famous Linda, the famous football player that uses this stuff, or somebody else who uses this. And we think if we buy this because so-and-so recommends it, it's going to work. It's going to work. Back then, letters were worthless. Today, often they are worthless as well. Got a lot of stories this morning. I'm trying to figure out how many you tell, how many you don't tell. I had a friend years ago. He's with the Lord. And he told me in his carnal days, this is a graduate from seminary who won the preaching award, but he was an alcoholic. And he told me, I was sitting in his office. He told me that what he would do, he would go to someone's church. And when nobody was looking, he'd go into the secretary's desk. He'd take some of the letterhead home with him. And he'd write a letter to himself, inviting him to preach somewhere else. And in those days, we didn't have the internet to check things out. He said he'd go away for a week and drink. And his wife and everyone else thought he was preaching at someone else's church because he had that letter of recommendation. That's what Paul's talking about here. By the way, also back then and today, sometimes letters are helpful, aren't they? How many here have ever been asked to write a letter of reference for somebody? Yeah. And or I've asked people to write letters for me, and you know, we've done that. We help people get into schools and places like that, and we try to be accurate, but Paul said, I don't need them. I don't need them. I don't need them from you. I don't need them from you. And here, Romans 2 this morning, this is the main emphasis. This is why I had you get up and quote that little saying to each other. Here's the main emphasis. Number 2 on your notes, the real credentials. We want to talk about the real credentials in verse 2 and 3. And let me read these to you again. This is good. He says, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be read, known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. 3 words to fill in. 3 emphatic words in the text. First word is you. Verse 2, you. You yourself. You yourselves. Not some physical letter, not some recommendation, but what's he talking about here in this verse? He's talking about a changed life. A changed life. The point Paul makes here is that the Corinthians themselves, their very existence as believers, and the ongoing transformation in their life, their testimony, was sufficient recommendation. Sufficient recommendation. One author said, God's method of commending the gospel to others is through the supernatural change that he writes on the lives of believers by his Holy Spirit. That's how God gets the gospel out there, your life. And so transformation, the changed lives of the Corinthian believers, was the strongest proof of the genuineness of Paul's apostleship, the fruit. And that's why the church has left here and not raptured the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ. You're here as that billboard. You're here so the watching world can see your life. My wife teaches first grade Logos Christian Academy, and part of her assignment before the school year starts is to visit all the homes of her students. And so I go with her, I drive her, I get to visit and sit in some homes, and I saw firsthand just transformed life. It was just great to say, well, we had 15, 16 homes where different churches, good churches, just a good comment on the church these folks are from, but parents that love their kids, that work with their kids during the week, and you see that transformed lifestyle that is evident to the watching community. Fruit from good churches. This will not appear on the screen. I added it, so you'll have to look it up. Find 1 Peter 3. This is for the wife. Find 1 Peter 3. You know the chapter. Perhaps you've heard it many, many times, but I want you to see this with this idea of being a billboard. A digital billboard. And you know what a digital billboard is, do you not? They're on 30. They change all the time. As soon as you want to write down whatever they're advertising, it changes to the next one. But they're just there for everyone to see. They're just wonderful. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says the same thing, same truth to the wife. And the wife, it's hard to determine this with 100% accuracy. The wife is either living with an unsaved husband or just a husband who's disobedient to the word of God. Practically same outcome, all right? So the man is not the spiritual leader. The man doesn't care about kingdom values. What is the wife to do? Leave literature all over the place, nag him, preach to him, get people to attack him? No. Peter says this, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. That's still in the Bible. So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won. Next thing it says, without a word. You see that? It's important. By the conduct, the behavior of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external only, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, the clothing you wear alone. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. What does Peter say? What is Peter telling the wife here? Be that digital billboard. Just live out the transformed life before your husband. Let God do the rest. It's not going to change overnight. It's not going to roll over. Maybe he will, but let God work through your gospel behavior. You see the point? You see the point? The transformed life. Second word in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, is found at the end of verse 2, and it's the little word all. All. Very important here. It says, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. Everyone. That's not that profound, is it? Everyone. You are a living billboard for all to see. Your neighbors, your family, everybody around. Someone told me last week, won't point them out, that they saw me driving. Uh-oh, and I was behaving, so that was good because the testimony is out there, right? Living billboard for all to see. And what is Paul telling us here? He's saying the product speaks for itself. When you have a good product, the word will get out. When you're living the way you're supposed to be doing, the gospel will get out. People will see the message. There will be a difference. When I was in school, in college, I think before I got to college, I had one idea in mind. I wanted to go to Dallas Seminary. You know where Dallas Seminary is? Whenever they ask me, what's your favorite football team? I always say, Dallas. I don't know the difference, okay? The Dallas Cowboys, all right? I wanted to go to Dallas, not because we wanted to move to Texas, all right? Not Texas. Texas, if you know anything, and Diane knows about it, Texas has some very, very strange food. You know that, don't you? We didn't know that until we got there. What do they have down there?
Great food,
all right. I was, my first year there, I was single, and I had to go to the single man's cafeteria in the morning, walk over there past Dr. Cohen's little apartment, and they had, for breakfast, they could do amazing things with okra. So what is that stuff? Okra. They have a lot of that stuff around now, but back then we didn't know what okra was. They didn't grow that in New Jersey. Okra. They had something called hominy. You know what hominy is? It looked like Yeah, right. You're not missing anything. It looked like somebody left the corn in the water too long and it just kind of bloated. You know, but they ate that. They got excited. Hominy. Not hominy grits. Hominy. Okra. Hominy. And this was a great mystery. They had, and you have it now, so this is no big deal. Now, we saw something called chicken fried steak. We never had that years ago. What is that? And you'd ask somebody down there. It's like asking somebody living in Texarkana. Do you live in Arkansas? Do you live in Texas? I asked a lot of people that. We don't know. What is chicken fried steak? Is it chicken or is it steak? And they just kind of look at you. What's wrong with you? Yankee, go home. and then they had this thing called, you have it up here, but we didn't have this years ago like they have in Texas. They had ultra, 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 ultra sweet tea. Those Texans are all getting diabetes, but they're happy, I'll tell you what. And we found out when we started having people over our home. You want to offend them? You want to offend someone in Texas? Give them a small glass of tea. Give them a small glass of tea. Man, they have this massive stuff, and none of that powderized tea stuff. You know that powder stuff they used to have? None of that stuff. You better have major, major iced tea, and you ought to put like 5 pounds of sugar in that thing, and then they'll be happy with it. We never had that before. I didn't go for that reason. I didn't go to Dallas because it was easy. They required, beyond college, they required minimum 4 years in those days. 4 years. Other guys were going to schools for 1 year, 2 years. They wanted 4 years. You know why I went to DTS? Why I went to Dallas? Because I saw the product all over the place as a young guy. I pick up the book by Hal Lindsey. I pick up all kind of books all over the place. They're written by Dallas guys. I turn on the radio and I hear like pristine Bible teachers. They were from Dallas. Wherever I went, you know what? I wanted to go there. The product spoke for the school. They didn't have to talk about facilities or all this other stuff. It was the product. Paul says that's what you need to be about, the product. That is how you need to view yourself, as that walking billboard. Third word on your notes, third word is in verse 3, contrast. The word is contrast. The word is contrast. In verse 3, and we'll talk about the Old Covenant, Lord willing, next week, but he says, you are a letter of recommendation written by Jesus. What does verse 3 say? You show that you're a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, on tablets of human hearts. I ask the question. I'll ask you a question. What makes a good letter? What makes a good letter? You know anything about AI these days? I think it was about a year ago, my son Joe, he's in law school now, he came over and he introduced to my wife's a lot more into technology than I am, but he showed my wife, I think it was Joe who did this, right? He showed you how to write a letter using AI. It's absolutely amazing. But you put a couple things in this deal, and it spits out an amazing letter. If you get a letter from me, and you're impressed with it, I didn't write it, okay? AI wrote it. I don't do that stuff, okay? That's just amazing. Here's what a good letter involves. A good letter is easy to read, is it not? Not confusing. We just got a letter from, I wrote to some organization. They sent me this letter. It was so confusing. I had Tim read it. I had Dr. Cohen read it. I had a few other people read it. We didn't know 100% what it said. A good letter has to be clear, has to be easy to read, has to give a clear statement. And a good letter is going to express your personality. AI wouldn't do that for me, okay? It will express your personality. And here in verse 3, the personality, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, sending a clear gospel message. I want to talk about one more thing this morning, third on your notes. I want to talk about real and present consequences. We'll just touch on this, real and present consequences. Go back again to chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. And Paul will get into more of this discussion. Paul says, we all, again, there again, all, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus, we're being transformed. This is a process. This is an ongoing process. Into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What is Paul saying? What? Things Paul's saying is, we need to be like that solar light. Anyone have solar lights in your yard? The fire chief just moved next door to us, which is kind of great. He's always checking on us. We're always checking on him, and it's great. If something happens here, he's right there. Hopefully, he's right there. And the fire chief, several weeks ago, he put out all these solar lights along the border here, so we know not to drive over the median or whatever. And I noticed that if it's a sunny day the day before, what do I see early in the morning? The solar lights are nice and bright, right? However, if it's a cloudy day, what are the solar lights like? They're off. Same here with my Christian life. If I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing as that billboard, I'm going to be exposing myself to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. I'm going to be focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Kindness, grace, gentleness. And unlike those digital billboards on Route 30 or wherever you see them, you as a digital billboard for the gospel, you're always on the move. You're always going someplace. You're always somewhere else. Three passages. And we'll go drink coffee and go to Sunday school, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. Jesus tells his disciples. He doesn't say digital billboard. He says, you are the light of the world. Jesus said he was the light of the world. We are the light of the world as we reflect him. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand that gives light to all in the house. In the same way, verse 16, let your light shine before others. That's your transformed, in-process life in Christ, so that they may see your good works, give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Peter picks up on that concept. You don't have this one, you'll have to write it down. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, writing to some discouraged believers scattered all over the place, Peter says, beloved, chapter 2, verse 11, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul. That's a constant choice. Keep your behavior among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak evil, they speak against you as evildoers, here it is, they may see your good deeds. That's your life. That's your behavior. And glorify God on the day of his visitation. What's the idea there? Same thing that Jesus talked about. They're going to see your life. They're going to hear your message. They're going to come to faith in the Savior. And one day they're going to be rejoicing because you were faithful with your transformed life. That's what he's saying. And I need to add this one. In Psalm 92, we've read this several times before. In Psalm 92, 12 through 15. This is a great psalm for us here. It says that, you know what? Your life even counts in older age. There's some places who say after a certain age, you're not going to be effective, whatever. You know, the psalmist says that if you're in Christ, if you're glorifying the Lord, you're going to bear. Let me read this to you again. This is so encouraging. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous flourish like a palm tree. That's a good thing. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's a great thing. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. And here's the good news. Verse 14, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. There's no ending here till the Lord takes you home. And here it is. Verse 15, to declare, here's the gospel, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You do that with your words. You do that with your behavior. You do that with your life. I wrote this down here, and maybe don't take this too seriously because we always encourage you to do this. Maybe sometime we need to forget about all the literature we give out, and it's good to do that and focus on our lives. Being with people. We'll talk about that next hour. Being with people, focusing on lives. One author said, the test of ministry, this is good, the test of ministry is not press releases or statistics or even Bible knowledge. Whoa. The test of ministry, and this is what Paul's saying this morning, is a changed life. A changed life. All right, one more time, stand up with me. Stand up, stand up. Stand up, stand up. And remain standing because Ryan's going to have you sing. Stand up, stand up. And this time, point to yourself. You. And repeat after me. I am a living. Digital billboard sign.
Digital billboard sign.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ.
One more time. I am a living.
I am a living.
Digital billboard sign.
Digital billboard sign.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And Father, give us the resolve while we have life and breath to be that sign for the gospel for Christ, and may we pursue him with more passion than ever. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.